So as part of our many wonderful guests, we have quite a few from Canada, and some of whom are very close to Siva Yogaswami and the Kailasa Parampara, and we're very happy about that. And we're preparing to go to Toronto in April, and because Toronto is snowing and 20 and 30 degrees, I'm saying we're warming up for the Toronto trip by our talk tonight. Don't want to go there without warming up first. So we're going in April, and the reason we chose that date, even though it's still a little too cold for our Hawaiian blood, is that it's the time of the annual Mahasamadhi ceremonies for Siva Yogaswami. It's the Ashlesha Nakshatra on April 11th. So we wanted to be there for that celebration. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. We're also getting ready, working on trips to Mauritius and Malaysia in August at the time of Ganesha Chaturthi. We always visit Mauritius and our center there at Ganesha Chaturthi time because we have a special Ganesha Mandapam. And we're getting ready for our biggest journey, which is a little less than a year from now, and that's our India Inner Search in the middle of January 2004, which is about 3 weeks in length. Very wonderful program we're developing, which has a nice balance to it. Sometimes our programs have been almost all pilgrimage, but this program is providing a nice balance between daily classes, pilgrimage to the major temples, and a nice selection of the best of dance and musical and other cultural traditions of South India. So we're going to mix together all three elements pretty much on a daily basis and keep the traveling down too. We're staying just in a few places and not jumping on a bus every day to go somewhere different. So we're starting to get some enrollments in for that program, and if you're interested, you can contact Sadhika Dandapani while you're all here and assure yourself a place. So back to Toronto. So the reason we want to focus on Yogaswami, there's a very large Saivite community there in Toronto, and we wanted to talk about Saiva Siddhanta and use Yogaswami as an example, both in terms of how he lived Saiva Siddhanta, as well as how he taught Saiva Siddhanta. Because he's an excellent example of a Siva Bhaktar and a Siva Yogi at the same time, in the same person. He's a great devotee of Lord Shiva, has tremendous devotion for Lord Shiva. He's also a great yogi, someone who can meditate profoundly. So this particular combination of devotion and meditation that Gurudeva was talking about also is pretty much unique to the path of Saiva Siddhanta. And the other Hindu traditions usually emphasize just one or the other. Either it's important to be a great bhaktar, a great devotee, or it's important to be able to meditate profoundly and worship internally. However, Saiva Siddhanta requires both of us, not just one or the other. In fact, deep devotion to God is considered a prerequisite to meditation, meaning profound meditation. It's not that we can't sit and have a simple meditation if we don't have a lot of devotion, but it's rather if we're really serious about meditation and want to make good progress, really go into the depths of ourselves, first we have to cultivate devotion. So Saiva Siddhanta, as most of us know, but I'll mention it anyway because some of us aren't familiar with the terms, describes the spiritual path in four progressive stages. First one is Charya, virtuous conduct and selfless service. Kriya, devotional practices. Yoga, which is meditation. And Jnana, which is enlightened wisdom. So I'll read just Gurudeva's statement about the relationship between devotion and yoga from Dancing with Shiva. Hinduism demands deep devotion through bhakti yoga in the Kriyapada, softening the intellect and unfolding love. So that's the outcome of the Kriyapada, or the practice of devotion. It softens our intellect and helps us have a deep love. Yoga, union, is the process of uniting with God within oneself, a stage arrived at through perfecting Charya and Kriya. So as we mentioned, Siva Yoga Swami exemplified these teachings in his life. He's certainly a great yogi, and he'd sit for hours at a time, and during some periods of his life, he would sit for days at a time in deep meditation, a real profound meditator. He also has the knack of, just like Gurudeva, of explaining profound metaphysical spiritual concepts in very simple language. It's one of the beauties of Gurudeva's teachings. Doesn't use a lot of complex terminology. It's very simple. Life is meant to be lived joyously. Can't mistake that, what it means. So Yoga Swami has one of these statements, and it's called a Mahavakyam. There's four of his statements that are so considered great sayings, his core teachings. This one is in Tamil, Suma Iru, something parents say to their children all the time, you know, be quiet. Be quiet. So it has a very practical sense, because it's just something that's part of life, you know. Parents are telling children, be quiet. Teachers are telling students, be quiet. Yoga Swami is telling Saivites, be quiet. So it's so simple, but yet it's so profound also. And that's a wonderful part of his teachings, Gurudeva's teachings, and the Parampara. In fact, this teaching is so central. There's a center, the Sivathonda Nilayam on KKS Road in Jaffna, two-story building. So downstairs is where most of the activities take place. That's where you sing and you eat, you talk. Upstairs, silence only. The whole second story of the building, you're supposed to be quiet. Even when Guru Puja is done there, there's no bell. No bell at all. It's quiet. So the building itself, when you're upstairs, you're quiet. Be still. When you're downstairs, you don't have to be still. So it's symbolic, as we'll see.